Brady Shea is going to score a goal, or I am actually going to lick a Ranger.
It's a lot harder to identify an angel, Beth, because that's the spiritual world. But it's much easier to quantify the data of someone who's a warrior, because they've seen war. But they're just like, by the way, the dog is kind of dangerous. Your children, unsupervised children, here's some pennies.
And I'm going to allow the dog to roam.
And the dog will roam free.
Yeah. Best of luck. Remember to cover your neck and throat if you get knocked down. And your carotid artery above all else. There's a predator who will have an instinct.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, on this fine Wednesday evening. My name is Joe Fortunato. I will be your host. I am joined by Mitchell Murphy. Mitchell, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Jake. Everything's great.
Mike and I have been passive-aggressively calling each other different names for the past hour. So that's how this podcast is going so far. Welcome to Bantering the Blue Shirts, the 92nd episode. We have a lot of episodes. It's
Michael Nylander
ridiculous.
Special.
The Michael Nylander special. That's true. We should actually, every podcast should, it should just be, well, we're coming
well,
up
next
to
the
hundreds.
Yeah, we'll have Mika next.
So, yeah, we will. We'll
94, we'll the Cup team, 95.
That's a lot. Yeah, there's too much to go there. We can't do that. We can't. It's just too much. Well, welcome. This is Bantering the Blue Shirts. It's me and Mike. We have moved to a different podcast format. We had some issues with Zencaster, so we are on.
My guess is we end up going back to Zencaster.
You think we do?
Yeah, because this is already, it's new and it's different. I don't like it.
It is new. It is different, but I got news for you. If the minute we stop recording, our audio is synced up, this is the winner right here. I'm just letting you know. Because
how come all these podcast places leave out the E in Caster?
I don't know. Zencaster, Firstcaster. Maybe this is the sister to Zencaster. Like Zencaster doesn't work and they throw you over here. I don't know. Anyway, lots to talk about today.
Is there, though, Joe?
Before we begin, though, Michael.
Oh.
I have a shout out. My boy Jeff Gorski.
Shout out.
Fan of the podcast. Make sure you give me a great share in Birmingham and Des Moines. That's a TV joke right there, except it's not a joke. Seriously, give me a good share. Otherwise, we're going to have some problems.
Your day job nonsense?
Yeah, these shout outs can keep happening, man. You know, I could be bought. I'm a whore. It's easy.
Joe raises pigs on a slop farm in Maryland.
That's part. And Jeff is, he's the supplier.
He buys the hooves.
Yeah,
he buys the hooves off
do,
of the
Do
the
people buy
pigs.
Pig hooves? It, yeah. That's more of a cow and horse thing, isn't it?
Well,
yeah, I think
as far as I know, pigs have hooves that are like toenails.
I don't even know if I would call it a hoof.
A cartoon piggies have hooves for sure.
Well, of course they do because they're cartoons. Cartoon like, pigs also have like wings and they never poop. Podcast already ruined.
Look up pig hoof.
So before we get into any like news,
they have hooves. They definitely have hooves. Stuff. Everyone, just so everyone knows, pigs have hooves.
Our boy Mika Zibanejad just absolutely making the world his bitch.
That's aggressive language. I'm
it
not
is.
Sure I like
Five
it.
Goals and 9 points in 7 games for Sweden. He is just absolutely dominating. Picked up right where he left off with the New York Rangers. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see. Kreider was playing pretty well.
He's got 2 goals, 6 assists in 7 games.
Yeah, the Rangers could have been a hot playoff team. They wouldn't have been, but, you know, one can dream. I don't really, like, the worlds don't excite me. It doesn't, I don't care. Like, great, Zibanejad's doing wonderful. Like, I'm happy for him. It means nothing to me because you're still going into the offseason. There was a point where we could, like, point to the World Cup and say, hey, look, this is something that's happening right before the season begins. Look at the form that X, Y, and Z player is in. But this is not. I have no reason to.
Yeah, and there's the asterisk attached to it, which is, you know, these are the guys, the teams, the stars who are not in the playoffs, essentially.
Right.
And the guys who aren't hurt. It's not like the Olympics before Bettman decided no more fun.
Yeah, before he was a jerk face. How's that for strong language? A jerk face.
We're not going to have any friends if you keep this up.
Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter.
Farmers are mad at us now. And
go, go Pig subscribe ranchers. To us there. We have some podcasts. I think I'm going to drop the Digger Summer Survival Guide soon. Maybe this week. That special podcast that Mike and I are going to do for patrons only that is honestly maybe the most ridiculous thing we've ever put out, which I think speaks volumes because we've put out some truly ridiculous material. I'm
wondering what the statute of limitations is for a couple of the things I was involved in as a youth.
That we don't want to be associated with?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of them I would consider to be of, at the very least, questionable, like, ethical.
Well, I think every one of the stories was about me purchasing another child's as like a servant. So.
Yeah, you tried to enslave another human being.
Well, I didn't try. It was actually a successful transaction. But, yeah, you know, see, like, this is the stuff that you could get. So patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. Just donate $5 and you get all of our bonus podcasts, Double Shifted. You get the Digger Summer Survival Guide. Lots of stuff there. You also get all your questions answered because we're doing... I mean, listen, I'm going to level with you. I'm going to be honest. During the off season, you're going to get your questions answered regardless because there's really not a lot going on. But when the season comes and we have a bunch of things to talk about, it will be much more difficult. So we will 100% get to the patron questions. So join. And then iTunes, like us on iTunes. Give us a nice rating, 5 stars. Leave a comment. If it's positive, if you want to do bad things on iTunes, don't go. But for the rest of you,
you know what?
Nice things,
you guys should say nice things about Joe on iTunes and Reddit because so many people say mean things about sweet Joe.
I won't even go on Reddit. I'm not even kidding. It's probably for the best.
I don't know what you did. I mean, you can barely write. I mean,
there's no positive.
There's a lot
of me on Reddit.
Grammatical errors in your.
My writing is nothing but grammatical errors.
Well, you've always been a you know, quantity over quality kind of guy. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone goes home with a full belly that way.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I mean, what do you want? Everyone gets fed a loaf of bread? Or do you want only a couple of people get to eat meat?
Yeah, do you want the bread to make sense? Or would you rather be confused and befuddled? Huh?
I think we entered into a socialism thing here. But
we did. Well, I mean, listen, just if you're so inclined to write something nice about me on Reddit, just go do it on iTunes instead because Reddit is just
I'm going
to
write a nice thing about you.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
Just not on the Reddit that's good for you.
I'm going to write a nice thing about you, too.
Oh.
Some New York Rangers news. Larry Brooks, noted pot stirrer, noted insider, speculated that Ryan Spooner, quote, I'm not going to quote because I'm paraphrasing.
I doubt that Ryan Spooner fits into the Blue Shirts' long-term
plan. There we go.
The winger reasonably productive, but a bit too perimeter-oriented for a team that wants to transform into more of a straight-line attack mode, is also arbitration eligible and a year away from free agency.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not terribly surprised. I feel like there's enough evidence to, you know, considering what the Rangers gave up and the deal he was attached to, where you'd imagine that Namestnikov is just a more versatile player. He's a guy you can trust out there in many more situations than you can trust Spooner. Spooner is just offensive zone starts, power play, and for God's sakes, don't have him on the ice when you're in your own zone. He was a lot of fun to watch as a Ranger, but that doesn't mean, you know, he's something that the team needs to invest in. I don't mind him as a stopgap. Like, you sign him for 1 year, maybe flip him on deadline day, do something like that. But, you know, if you can move him in a deal where you move up the draft board, as we've talked about a lot already on previous shows on draft day, then you do that. But, yeah, I'm not surprised because Spooner is very much, you know, he's a very fun kind of player. But do you remember Eric Christensen, Joe?
I do, but I'm not totally in agreement of that comparison. But go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying it's a similar kind of. There's flashes of this. Oh, look, he can do things in the offensive zone. Christensen had these moments. I mean, he was like the definition of inconsistency, but. A kind of player where he just has this one trick, not unlike in many ways like David Desharnais, who we who we found out just recently is officially going to the KHL.
Officially, yeah.
The KHL. So
you want to hear an Eric Christensen, a little fun story about Eric Christensen?
I mean, hit me.
I'm going to hit you right now, right in the face, right in the throat. Eric Christensen, for whatever reason, was skating when he was with the Rangers, or maybe it was right after he was with the Rangers. I don't remember. My buddies played in like a summer hockey league that was, there were like different tiers to the league, and the top tier was like college kids who were playing in the NCAA who just wanted to get some summer skating in, and you know, guys who would play. Like I call my buddy, he's somebody that I worked with. He was like 40 years old when he was playing in this league. Eric Christensen was there, and he like joined the game for a little, maybe a period. And just my buddy was like, the man could do things with the puck that you couldn't even fathom. Which, like, I think, what did Patrick Kane, he played in like a, him and Taves played in like a beer league game, didn't they? And they both had like 40 goals or something stupid. Like, yeah, you're talking about a professional hockey player who's playing against people who are playing in a much lower level of hockey. But Eric Christensen was like an NHL washout, right? There really wasn't much to Christensen's game. And he was just absolutely dominant.
Joe, how many games did Christensen play with the Ragnars?
30?
Your guess is 30. The answer is 132.
Yeah, looks like that's interesting. I'm looking up his stats right now. Christensen would show flashes of like the greatest.
I love how we're talking about Eric Christensen right now.
He would show flashes of like one of the greatest hockey players you've ever seen. There would be moments.
He played last season in the Swedish league.
There would just be moments where he would just take games over, and it like a shift where he would absolutely blow your mind, and you'd be like, holy crap, look at how good he is, and then you wouldn't notice that he played for the next 12 games.
Yeah.
So back to the topic at hand, Spooner. Eric Christensen. There was a bit of a debate on Twitter about whether or not to keep Spooner, whether or not to get rid of him, and you know, trade him for assets, which was spurned by this Larry Brooks story. And Matt Cane has a prediction model for players' contracts, and at the 4-year mark, Nemestikov is a $5 million player on this model. Ryan Spooner is a $4.9 million player on this model.
Don't want anything to do with that.
I don't either. Listen, I like Spooner.
Trouble.
The stint that he had in New York was wonderful. It was great. 16 points in 20 games. He was a monster. He finished with 41 points in 59 games. We're talking about a good hockey player. But you either get really good Spooner or really bad Spooner. And I think if the Rangers can parlay this 20-game stint into assets, I'm going to do that move. Because at least with Nemestikov, who I don't think is going to be nearly that expensive, even at $4 million, I don't know if I want Nemestikov for 4 years, if we're being completely honest. But at least with Nemestikov, you get the defense, you get the zone entries, you get the analytical stuff that does make a difference, even if you're only getting 40 points out of him, which is probably what it's going to be. With Spooner, you get really, really good or really, really bad. And I just would have to think there's options out there at the draft where Spooner could bring in. I would not be surprised if the Rangers got a second-round pick for Ryan Spooner. I really wouldn't be. Your silence just speaks some words.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it's not unreasonable to think that they could do something where they get something like a second for Spooner. I feel like it's a big question for Gorton of what he wants to do, you know, and I think there's a lot of things that I'm sure he'd love to know, like how many kids can he expect, you know, to get in next year's lineup, because at some point there does become a question of, you know, well, you have to have a freaking team. You know, you have to have a guy who you can play in the top six, you know, playing wing. And if we're talking about trading Spooner and Zuccarello and, you know, kind of ripping off whatever things we can rip off of the ship, you know, to get it get it down to weight, you know, to whatever we can salvage and turn into assets and picks, then it begs the question, well, what the hell is this team going to be? Because, all right, we know almost certainly Kovalchuk's going to be here, okay? And then, all right, so it's very likely that we'll have Vlad. Just a question, of course, of what the contract's going to be like. And then, you know, it gets a little... I mean, how many guys from that top, you know, that already really kind of devastated group of top nine forwards post-deadline are going to be gone? I mean, is it just Spooner and Zouk? Because even that leaves the Rangers with some holes. And, I mean... And, you know, you can obviously assume you have Hedl and Anderson competing for roster spots there, but it does get a little, I mean, I know that you're not trying to be a cup contender or anything, but, I mean, a team like the Rangers isn't going to just, you know, tank it.
Well,
they're not going to play a crap team.
What are you getting out of... There's been a debate, too, about using the Rangers' cap space to kind of become a garbage dump, right? Like, hey, maybe we will take Bobby Ryan if you'll give us the fourth overall pick for some type of a deal in terms of Ottawa or, you know, those types of opportunities. And I don't think that's the worst thing in the world to look at, because if you're a team like the Rangers and you know you're not going to contend next year, you need to look at all types of deals. And if you can get... contracts that you can shed or will be over, like Pulaski, in the next 2 or 3 years, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't do it. We've talked at length about opportunities that the Rangers have to trade up in this draft, and I really do think that a team like Ottawa could really be convinced of moving the fourth overall pick.
This isn't the first time you've said that, Joe. You just want that fourth overall pick.
Maybe even Montreal, you could convince them. Well, because here's... You want to know why I'm saying that? For real?
Why are you saying
for
that?
Reals?
For real,
Joe. For Buffalo's realsies. Taking Dahlin. Carolina's taking one of Svechnikov or Zadina, right?
Sure.
I have a gut feeling Montreal's taking Tkachuk. And if they take Tkachuk, that leaves... Svechnikov or Zadina for the Rangers at 4 in that case. And if it goes Dahlin, Svechnikov, Zadina, you could get Boqvist, Hughes. There's plenty of options there. Wahlstrom, if you wanted to go crazy. So I see that as a pick where, I mean, look, I'm also in the process, and Mike and I talked about this last week. I really do think Zuccarello, you could talk Edmonton into thinking, hey, you're a Zuccarello away from being that great team that you were a couple of years ago and getting the 10th overall pick. Because we are in agreement that Zuccarello is a 70-plus point player with Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Easily, if he's not a point-per-game player with Connor McDavid. So... I see options for the Rangers of moving away from 9. I don't necessarily dislike what the Rangers may have at 9. I've done quite a few mock drafts, and I like what I see. But I do look at that fourth. The reason I'm bringing this up, I don't think Spooner is going to get you even the 10th overall pick. I think that's ridiculous.
No, Spooner, you're not going to get into the first round with Ryan Spooner.
You know, if you try to make a deal of Spooner plus one of the Rangers' later second or first round picks, is that enough to entice a team? I don't know.
It'd have to be the right team.
It would have to be the right team. And
that's a team that doesn't value where they're picking. And they also feel like, yeah, we're going to take a guy who's arbitration eligible, who we know is one dimensional, because everyone in the league knows that about Spooner.
Well, if you say to Ottawa, hey, you retain 50% of Bobby Ryan's salary. You give us him and the fourth overall pick. We'll give you Spooner and the 9th overall pick. Do you think they bite on that just to save the money? I mean, this is a team that was literally willing.
Well, Bobby Ryan is on the books for 4 more years.
They were literally, yeah, but at half the salary, it's only $4.5 million.
Yeah.
But... They were willing to and did tank a potential Carlson trade with Ryan's terrible contract. You're telling me you can't talk them into that deal? And then if you decide that you don't want Bobby Ryan anymore, you can trade him and retain 50% of the salary, and then you're only eating $2.25 million.
Half of Ryan's deal is $3.625.
I'll do that in a heartbeat. You eat half. You give us the four. We'll give you Spooner or Nemestikov and the ninth. Make the swap. Get rid of that half of that contract. Why wouldn't they?
And you get a good New Jersey boy, Bobby Ryan, in there as well.
Rangers, yeah. I'm Gordon. I will do consulting work for you. I promise. Honestly, like, if you think that's ridiculous, tell me. I don't think that's ridiculous.
No, it's not. I don't know, Joe. It's not ridiculous. It's just it's unpalatable. It's,
if a team was willing to tank a potential trade of the greatest player on defense in this generation, the most electric player in the NHL, seriously, there, how do you not at least think about it if you're Ottawa?
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely seduce them with that. The other part,
seduce is a great adjective for that.
The other part of that, I think, is that Ottawa doesn't have a lot of picks in this draft. They have, you know, the two in the first, and then nothing in the second or the third. So maybe, you know, and the Rangers are obviously in a position where they can, you know, push over a third or a second without it burning too badly. So maybe there's something there. I don't know. It's he does have, you know, a no movement clause, Bobby Ryan, or what is it, modified?
Yeah, but can't imagine he wouldn't want to get out of Ottawa.
No, probably not. I just think there's, it's a fun what if scenario. I'm just saying there's obstacles, Joe.
Of course there is, and that, who knows if that's even something that's possible. I mean, you would think Ottawa's not stupid, and they're just as aware that they may have a shot at Zadina or Svechnikov themselves.
I mean, if taking on half of Bobby Ryan for, what is it, what did I say, 4 more years after this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4 more years after, starting in 2018-19, he'll have 4 years on his deal, and you get a franchise winger like Zadina or Svechnikov, whoever falls, or you
Boqvist,
get to have
possibly,
or you get to have Boqvist on D, or
he's like a Carlson light.
Yeah, I think I would do it if I knew I was getting one of those three players. I would definitely be engaged and interested.
Well, and you know, you are getting one of those three players at four.
Well, that's
you have to. You can't not.
But that's
unless like Montreal
that's assuming,
tries to pick twice.
Well, no, but you're assuming that Montreal takes Tkachuk, right?
No, so, no, I'm sorry. I thought you meant between Svechnikov, Zadina, and Boqvist.
Oh, no, yeah.
Because I would put Boqvist in that, like, hey, give up the world to get this type of a
prospect.
Well, yeah,
but from everything we've heard, I mean, if not for how amazing Dahlin is and has been and projects to be, Boqvist would be the guy in this draft. I mean, in any other draft, he's a franchise defensive prospect. I mean, he's a guy you build your entire blue line around. He's that good.
Yeah.
You know, there's been comparisons to Carlson and not in a way where it's like you roll your eyes at it. It's like, oh no, he's the whole package. And he plays the right side as well. So there's a lot to like there. But, you know, the Rangers can definitely, you know, I read that piece too, and you know, I've heard it before, of using cap space as an asset, because the Rangers have so much room.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
On the cap. And especially, you know, if there's stuff like, you know, like Nash maybe not coming back or possibly going to Boston. We know that he, you know, he had the concussion, and he's definitely considering, you know, his options and being a guy of his age with a young family. He's not in any rush to get back on the ice, I think, and certainly, you know, I think he'd be a great guy for that, you know, veteran in the locker room for a team that's going to have a lot of puppies. But it's an exciting thing for the Rangers because there's just so many options, even tied to the whole Spooner thing, which is where this started, is, you know, it comes down to, well, what's there in free agency, and what does Gorton expect out of this team in terms of what the starting lineup could look like? And honestly, right now, I feel like he has no idea, because this is like a domino thing. He has to see what happens with all these different assets and decisions he has to make. He has to figure out, can I get an NHL-ready player this, you know, in that nine spot? And the answer is, it's going to be really tough. So if you can't get an NHL-ready player there, you have to figure out, all right, well, what can I do in terms of making a move, or who's there in free agency? And of course, you know, there's Tavares and plenty of Rangers fans who would love to see that, but you're not in a rebuildy mode if you're going after Tavares. So And if that's the case, you have to dictate, you have to change a lot of your game plan. But unfortunately, the way the timeline works, you have to figure out a lot of this stuff on draft day. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked at all if we see both Spooner and Zook moved. But if that happens, it tells us that the Rangers are going, you know, hard after the idea of just we're rebuilding. And that could include a Bobby Ryan trade. And yeah, I mean, it would 3.625 million for 4 years of Bobby Ryan. I mean, he wouldn't be the most popular Ranger ever, I'll tell you that, but he certainly wouldn't be too bad in terms of the potential of getting a franchise prospect back. So
yeah,
it's worth thinking about. I'll give you that.
Well, there you go. I've done it and there it is.
I don't know, Joe. I don't know.
Let's go to the questions.
Go to questions. I'm still getting over how pigs have hooves.
They don't have hooves. They're more
claws. Yeah, well, it's like toesies. They got little separate hooves with toesies.
All right.
Toesy hooves.
Jake Lester. If one of Spooner / Namestnikov are traded, do you bring Nash back? If so, for how much?
No more than 2 years, and you bring him back knowing that he's not a top six forward. You don't want him to be the guy who is responsible for the offense. And that means lowering your expectations for him. You know, I think Matt Cain, what is it? At a 2 year deal for Nash, he's projecting 3.8 million. 1 year, 3.635. If you're willing to bite that bullet, which really, you know, if you're doing the Kovalchuk thing and you know, it's in many ways, I was talking about before, you just kind of want guys to plug in there while these kids develop, and you want the right kind of veterans. And like I said, Nash is a good type of the right kind of veteran to me. It really just comes down to, do you want to take on, you know, the injury risk? And you know, you certainly don't want to go past 2 years with him, even if you can get him, you know, at a great deal, because a couple too many injuries. And of course, you know, he's a guy who came under a lot of heat in New York from the fan base. I mean, that's not a reason to dissuade the idea of bringing him back. But yeah, it's I would like him back, killing penalties, teaching kids, being a dad with the puppies. Works for me.
Yeah, I think he's one of those players that...
I will say now, I'm closer to being... I definitely want 1 year over 2 years right now.
Yeah, the injury, the concussions are a concern. He was questioning whether or not he was even going to play in the NHL next year, which is pretty jarring, honestly, because this is a guy who's been, you know, he's had his fair share of head trauma, and that's not something to be taken lightly. And he's not a dumb guy. If he's making the decision that, hey, I want to prioritize my health over making a couple of extra $1 million, then by all means, that's exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah, he's made all the money he needs to make.
He doesn't need another, and he's not going to get another big contract. But I'm definitely a fan of bringing Nash back. If you bring him back even at 2 years, you're getting a solid penalty killer. You're getting a superstar in all three zones. Even if Nash just puts up 30 or 40 points, you're at $3.5 million. What are you paying for? I mean, honestly, what are you paying for? You're paying for a guy to legitimately be a good guy in the room who can also do the things that you need him to on the ice. And there's a huge difference between that and like, hey, we're going to play this guy like a number one defenseman, even though he isn't, and he's a good guy in the room. So, yeah, I would bring Nash back. I don't think I'd bring Nash back for more than $3.5 million, if even that much. And I, like Mike said, I think a two-year deal is the absolute maximum. Under no circumstances do you go. Do you go more than that? I would bring Nash back even if Spooner and Namestnikov weren't traded, although I can't imagine both of them would be kept on the team. Josh Zarkin. Why does Reddit hate you so much? I think you and your site have the best Rangers content out there.
Ah, Josh!
Josh, that is how you get your question read. Mike, what are your... I don't know if he's talking about me specifically or Blue Shirt Banter. Does Reddit hate Blue Shirt Banter?
I mean,
Rangers... what doesn't Reddit hate?
Well, the Rangers subreddit doesn't necessarily like Blue Shirt Banner, is what I've learned.
Really?
Apparently.
And it, do they like other blogs?
Apparently.
Really? That's interesting. Huh.
I mean, you gotta look in the goddamn mirror, figure out who you are underneath all that ego and lies.
I don't know why.
Those Chick-fil-A sandwiches you eat.
I have no idea why they wouldn't.
All
like
that street shawarma that.
I mean, you're
who
talking
are you
about,
underneath all that?
You're talking about like
just a scared little boy. That's what you are.
It's like, what do you want? What do you want from us? It's a New York Rangers website. If you hate me that much, don't read the website. Like, you're hate reading. I don't know what to tell you. So I don't know why they hate me.
I don't
so
like
much.
People who hate people.
I mean, I'm also.
There are some people we should hate, but
I'm public enemy number one.
No.
On Facebook as well. The Blue Shirt Banter Facebook page.
Well, I do what say do you, a lot of mean things about you.
What do you think you're coming to? So, yeah. TCO Pain.
Are you okay, Joe? You seem frazzled.
That's a name right there. His Twitter handle, that's his Twitter handle. His Twitter name is The Lawyer from Cheers.
The Lawyer
How
from
likely
Cheers.
Is it that someone like the Terrier Ronning could make the team out of camp, assuming there's a spot open for them?
Ooh.
That's an interesting question because we're making the assumption that there is a spot open for them. And I don't, there could be, but I kind of don't
think
there
will be. Well,
who the
hell's going to be on the team, Joe? Let's walk down the team, okay?
But we have no idea.
Just
shut
your mouth.
Because are you trading Zuccarello and Nemestikov or Spooner?
Shut your mouth. Ready? I'm
trying to bring some logic to this stupid idea you have.
Shut your mouth.
That was Kaylin smashing her hand against the laptop in anger.
Take.
She's sick of your questions.
That's not
well,
true.
My wife just came downstairs with the baby, and she's like, hey, this is yours now.
This is your baby
I have
baby
to go
now.
To Target. And I was like, I told you I was going to, while you were talking, I muted the mic. I was like, I told you I had to go to podcast tonight.
I have to go to the podcast.
Yeah, I have to go down to my dungeon where I podcast, where there's probably spiders, but none in sight.
Does Kaylin still have that thing where babies always smell good all the time?
Yes. And, yeah,
when
she's
does
like,
that wear
well,
off?
I'll tell you when it wears off. And she was like, well, this is yours now, so just deal with it. She's going to be fine. And she is squirming, but go ahead. What
right.
do you think?
All right,
let's run down the list. Are we? Yeah. Well, wait. I want to
set. You just
set
say
a ground
yes
rule.
Or no. You just say yes or no if they're going to be here.
Fine.
And we're
then
only
you better
doing
write
forwards.
This shit down. You better write this shit down.
We're recording it.
I'm not writing it. No, you have to write. Just go. Go.
Fine. I'll
just so that we know how many people it is. Otherwise, we could have 15 forwards, Michael.
Don't raise your voice with the baby. She'll grow up in a household that knows strife.
Let's do the easy ones.
All right.
Kreider.
Zibanejad, is he here? Yes.
Yes. Kreider. Yes.
Zuccarello?
No.
Hayes?
Yes.
Spooner?
No.
Vlad Nemestikov?
I'm going to say yes.
Matt Bolesky?
Yes.
Little Jesper Baby Fast?
Yes.
Desharnais, we already know, is in the KHL.
Yep, no.
Booch?
Yes.
Jimmy Vesey?
Yes.
All right, and that's it. Those are
how
the forwards
is,
who
how
we
many
know
is
are
that,
around.
How many is that without Bolesky?
I didn't count. I said I was going to count.
Are you kidding me? Kreider, Zibanejad, Hayes.
Hold on. I'll count it. This is a riveting podcast.
This is maybe the most.
Me
trying
to count.
I'll talk while you're doing this.
Yeah, you just talk.
I'm
going to
talk. So once Mike comes up with the number that he promised he would figure out and all it required was for him to just count like a human being would.
Seven.
With Bolesky or without Bolesky?
Without.
Okay, seven without Bolesky. I'm calling Kovalchuk a yes at eight.
That's fair.
Okay, and I'm going to call Nash a yes for nine.
That's preposterous.
But Nash can represent Rick Nash or a depth signing.
Or Peter Holland. He could represent.
Sure, Peter Holland, fine. that leaves one spot.
I didn't know Peter Holland was still under contract.
Yeah,
for next
he is.
Year.
It's ridiculous. Although the Rangers didn't do that, actually. That was done by Montreal, I believe.
Oh, so. Dickie do.
I think Lettieri has a better shot than Ronning just because Lettieri got his cup of coffee in the NHL last year.
And he broke Brendan Smith's hand face.
Both of them are volume shooters, which the Rangers desperately need.
Ronning's only 20. He'll be 21 next year.
He impressed in his limited AHL stint. What, 2 years ago? I don't think he played in the AHL this year.
I like Ty Ronning.
I like Ty Ronning a lot, too. I just don't know if next year is his year. I do think Lettieri will make a push. Jesus, Michael. You know who we didn't, yes or no?
Oh.
Heedle and Anderson.
Oh, that those guys would have been good to do.
Yeah, so remove Nash. Got you of this is
no
what
wonder
happens.
Reddit hates
she
us.
She is literally she is smashing her hand against the laptop in rage.
That's not fair for
well,
a baby
she's
to
pissed.
Do.
I'm sorry. All right, Cameron. I don't know what he's doing.
Anderson,
I'm
going to
say
Heedle,
yes. I'm going to say Anderson, no. Just because I don't think both of them will make the team. Well, you know what? Say I don't know. Assuming there is a spot for Letteri or Ronning, I think Letteri has a much better shot this year than Ronning does. But with that said, I think Ronning probably has the better shot to be the more successful NHL player than Letteri does. Mike, your thoughts on this?
I actually like what you just said. I don't like a lot of things about you, but I think that that last right, hot dude. Take of yours was pretty good.
Well, it's not hot. It's a right take.
I feel like Letteri will have a chance to crack the team in training camp only because, you know, the organization in Gorton gave him a couple of those chances, and he certainly did a fine job of looking like a guy who would, you know, be an energy line guy. He shot like a maniac when he was with the Rangers. He certainly wasn't the biggest guy on the ice, but he definitely played in a way where you noticed him. And,
like a maniac. Maniac on the floor.
That's a big deal. And, you know, there's certainly, I think, a spot for him is something like a 13th forward. And it's important to remember with, you know, Letteri that he's not like a kid. He'll be 24 next year. You know, he's 23 now. So there's no harm, I think, in being like, yeah, you're the 12, you know, you're the 12, 13th forward. We'll plug you into the lineup when need be. But again, there's also the question of he was so crucial to Hartford and the Wolfpack scoring. And, you know, do you want to remove that from Hartford as well? You know, if you keep him as something like a 13th forward with the team. But yeah, I think he'll have a chance. It really comes down to what happens in free agency.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it...
23 goals in 55 games with the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I think Letteri is a better short-term answer to that question. But I do think Ty Ronning is going to be the better NHL prospect. Jamie Bussold. Great show, gentlemen. Goddamn right it is. Thank you. Well, we kind of answered this question. Would you take on a contract like Orpik and ask for a pick prospect or... you know, we could give the Caps
Brooke
relief.
Orpik.
I don't know. See, if this is specifically about Orpik, not really.
Brooks.
Unless you're getting a really quality picker prospect back. Although, Orpik, how many years does he have left on that terrible deal?
Let's have a look-see.
Yeah,
it has look-see. 1 year left on
oh,
that
yeah,
deal.
Oh, yeah, then I'll do that all day, every day.
37
year,
years old?
Yeah, it doesn't
left
doesn't
side defenseman?
Put him up there. Jeff,
I have
Gordon.
An idea. I have an idea. I want to interrupt the questions.
Okay.
Before
is this
your wife,
going to be better executed than your other idea?
That's not very nice for you to say.
You didn't even write it down, man.
I don't know how to write anymore.
You made a promise.
I did promise, but it's to you. And you think that dogs can't make deals?
They cannot sell their souls to the devil. No. I will stand by. I'm looking at my dog right now. He would never sell his soul to the devil.
That's not true. If the devil was really nice, he would definitely do it. But you get two apples, right? And you get a spoon. And you hollow out the apples like they're like jack-o'-lanterns on Halloween time. And then you put them over Kaylin's hands to give her like little boxing gloves.
Okay.
And then what does your wife say when she comes home and she sees little boxing gloves on Kaylin's hands?
I'm moving to my sister's house.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what would happen.
It'd be pretty cute, though.
It would be cute, and I would explain it, and that would make it worse. She does have little hands.
You could fit those in an apple.
That she's squeezing the hell out of my fingers with. Jeff Gordon is the GOAT. Ooh, this is a bad question. Will Ovechkin get a cup before Lundqvist?
Goats have hooves. Yes, Ovechkin will get a cup before Lundqvist.
I'm going to say no.
You're wrong.
I don't. I mean, at this point, I'm not sure if either of them are gonna get cups at all.
Nor am I. But
I am desperately hoping the Capitals don't win the Stanley Cup and that Ovechkin doesn't. And here's why: I don't want Lundqvist to be the only player of this generation to be a generational player who doesn't win the Stanley Cup.
Why?
Because he doesn't deserve to be in that alone. And it would take so much more pressure off of him if Ovechkin doesn't win a cup. Because Ovechkin is clearly the best scorer of this generation. It's not even close. he will go down in history as one of the greatest goal scoring players of all time. And if he doesn't win, if he doesn't win a Stanley Cup,
he's 32.
You can't say, "Oh, he's not one of the greatest goal scoring players of all time." That's not the way that that works. So by the same token,
we already have enough examples, though. This sort of stuff drives me nuts.
It drives me nuts.
Whether or not you have a little, it's not like you have a scavenger hunt in your career and you have to get the Stanley Cup in order for you to win the big chocolate bunny at the end.
The chocolate. Do you hear her breathing heavily into the microphone?
I don't know. Move the mic closer to her face.
Here we go.
Do what I say.
You hear that? That was all her. Yoni Byrig?
Byrig.
I don't know. What are the Rangers going to do about their center jam? Do we re-sign Spooner, Hayes, and Vlad? If so, what do we do with Anderson?
This is everyone's
Howden,
question.
And Hedel. Well, so the reason why this question gets asked is because we talked about Spooner, Haddon, and Hayes, right?
Yeah.
Hayes is staying. One of Spooner and Vlad is going to stay. I think Hedel's going to make the team next year because he's too skilled not to.
And he looks
so
good right now.
I think Anderson's going to start in the AHL because he could be their number one center, play 20 minutes a night every night. Howden, I think, has to go to the AHL. He's not somebody who's going to step in and make it right to the NHL. So my issue with the Zibanejad-Hayes-Nemestikov thing is you really don't want to keep three of them that long term. Because you do have guy, unless you're going to move Nemestikov to the wing, which you can totally do, but you have Howden, Hedel, and Anderson coming up. That's the question, Michael. Unless you're going to demolish one of their center growths and just turn them into a wing.
Well, it's one of those things where it's kind of a good problem to have until it's not. And like you said,
so you're damaging a player.
Yeah, because you can eventually, let's say, there's a potential there to stifle Hedel as a center. And everyone knows that, you know, guys who can play center that are really skilled, you want them to play in their natural position. And Hedel is, I feel like in many ways, Hedel is a guy who projects like he could end up on the wing. But, you know, we saw him play center at the NHL when he was like 18 and 3 days old. So I'm not writing him off yet as an NHL center.
Okay, there you go. There's the answer to that.
Howden's interesting, though.
Howden is
super kind of the forgotten prospect. I mean, we talk more about Libor Hájek, and you don't even know how to say his name.
It's Hájek, Michael.
Yeah, Selma Hájek.
Hájek.
Selma Hájek.
Rieckhoff, Hájek, Boqvist.
Boqvist.
There you go. Hockey stat miner. Who's that fool? Thoughts on trading down? And then he links to Josh did a mock. So I've tweeted this actually a couple of times too. There's like, it's draftwired.com. And then there's like /8888/app/DWNHL, whatever. It's in
Yeah, people are going to write that down, Joe.
If they promised they would, they probably would. If you go there, it's a high-functioning draft, mock draft in real time. No. So you can pick, you know, you can pick where the Rangers would theoretically pick. And there's a setting that's called high logarithm that it picks off of a formula. And in the picks, like, everything looks, nothing looks out of place. If it simulates the first round, you'd think, oh, wow, that's exactly actually how this could go. And in my pick, I got, I actually traded down, and then I took, no, I can't even remember his name. This is the worst podcasting of all time. I traded down to take Vitali Kravtsov.
Who I mentioned last week, who
put up some of the best under 18 numbers in the KHL's history. He had 11 points in 16 KHL playoff games. I mean, that's not a joke. So
it's not a joke.
I'm not against trading down, but here's the thing. I mentioned that I would take Kravtsov. I hope that's how you say his name. I mentioned that I would take him at 9, and a lot of people were like, no way, can't do that, dude. Got to trade down to do that. Two things. One, you need to have an eligible trading partner to trade down with. Two, they need to have something of value for you. And we discussed this. The Islanders pick 11th and 12th. Okay? You're not trading with the Islanders. Boom. The Flyers pick 14th. The Devils, Blue Jackets, and Flyers pick 17th, 18th, and 19th. So who are you trading with? And how do you know he's still going to be available wherever you trade? With the amount of first-round picks the Rangers have this year, unless you're passing up on Hughes, Wahlstrom, Tkachuk, Boqvist, Bouchard, Zadina, or Svechnikov, just reach. If you want to reach, reach. I'm fine with reaching in that respect at 9. So long as you're not passing up on one of those big guys, I don't care if the Rangers get Dobson. I don't care if the Rangers get Smith. I don't care if the Rangers get Kotkaniemi. Damn it. I don't care. Denisenko, I don't care. If those big eight are gone, everybody's getting on the big eight thing. I think I started the big eight thing, actually. That's my personal ranking. That's my big eight.
This is what Reddit hates you. You think you started everything.
The big eight, that's me, okay? I'll just tell you right now. I think Dahlin, Svechnikov, Zadina, Bouchard, Boqvist, Tkachuk, Wahlstrom, Hughes, I think they're the best eight players in this draft by a relatively wide margin. That's all. I think that. That's me. She doesn't agree with me. You're making that noise. Dobson, Farabee, Ty Smith, these guys, like, they're not bad players. Kotkaniemi. These are not bad players. They're just not in that top eight for me. So if the Rangers don't have any of those eight players on the board at 9, I kind of don't care what they do. Because at 26, where the Bruins pick landed, and either 29, 30, or 31, where the Tampa Bay pick is going to land, you're going to get a good player there. But if you could trade 9 to the middle and you can get another second-round pick or another third-round pick, I don't see why you wouldn't do it. There's plenty of talent in this draft. Did you even answer this question, or did I just go off on a tangent?
I don't have anything to say about this one.
You have nothing
to
say.
You talked too long. I came up with a stupid thing to ask you, though.
What was it?
So I give you all the fabric you need, right?
Okay.
All the materials
you need. I have the fabric.
Can you make me one, like, passable shoe or two pairs of, like, one pair of gloves? So a glove for each hand or one shoe. Which could you make faster?
The gloves, for sure.
Yeah, you think the gloves?
I mean, if I can just make like a bag shaped thing and call it a shoe with no structural support at all.
Well, you gotta wear it all day.
Yeah, then I'm giving you the gloves, because my shoe is gonna be like putting a paper towel on your foot and being like, "Yeah, good luck with this, you son of a bitch."
I would imagine making a shoe from scratch is a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, you have to like put the woodwork in. There's metal. Like, there's so much that goes into a shoe. I broke a shoe. Like a week ago, I stepped off the curb wrong in Manhattan, and my girth pushed the heel through like the back of the shoe. And as I was walking to work, I was like, "Huh." Every time I take a step, my shoe clicks. That's really weird. So I took my shoe off at the office, and I looked. My heel punctured a hole in the sole of the shoe. And I removed the sole of the shoe, which was very easy because I destroyed it. And there was like a weird grid system, like a plastic grid for support, and a thick metal bar that ran from like the toe of the shoe to the heel. Which I'm assuming was for support, like a flat metal bar. And
the hell sort of shoes are you wearing?
They're obviously industrial. They have to be. I'm a husky fellow, so it's all I have, Michael. It's all I can do. And yeah, that's how that went down. I can't make that. I don't know what to do.
No, I don't think anyone can make that. No. You need some sort of robot.
It's got to be a robot, because I don't even think shoemakers exist anymore.
Shoemaker. A cobbler.
I was going to say cobbler. You got me on that.
But if I had to make a glove, what I would do, and I feel like this is the wrong answer, is I'd put my hand down on the fabric, trace my hand, leave like a little extra something-something, do that twice, cut those out, stitch them together, and hope I get a glove. That's all I got. I have no other idea how to make a glove.
I mean, you could just make a mitten, which is basically just a
yeah, but you got to use it all day. So you have to be able to use it like when you're typing and eating. And
well, my glove would be just one large finger for the four fingers and then like a crude opening for the thumb. So you're just smashing your keyboard and nothing makes sense.
And you can't do a hobo glove where you have the finger holes cut out. So you have
free. See, that would be a good cheat method. Then you just need the palm.
Also, you can't make a sandal for this challenge. That's not fair.
Well, are we doing the challenge?
We might have to.
Just to see.
If we get enough new patrons, new Patreon people, Joe and Mike will do the shoe glove challenge.
We had one more question. Oh,
five new people. Two more questions by the end of June.
Surly Sailor.
I don't know how to do a challenge. Surly Sailor.
I like that, actually. If we get five more patrons
by the end of
June. Between now and the end of June, we will do the glove. Mike and I will create gloves each out of the cloth, and we will mail them to one of our patrons selected randomly.
Game worn gloves?
No, like we're going to give them.
Oh, that's fine.
The gloves that we made, which I'm going to tell you right now, are going to be shitty gloves. They're not going to be good gloves. But
should we do?
We're also doing this challenge in the middle of the goddamn summer, so we're giving people gloves that they're not going to use for months on end. But it's fine.
Maybe we should make socks. Socks sound easier than shoes.
Socks? Well, a sock is just a stocking-like creation. Yeah. We'll figure out the deal. Just five more patrons. If you're not a patron, five more patrons to the end of June, and we will create some type of an article of clothing, and we will mail it to two lucky winners. One gets mine, and one gets Mike, and you can tell us Mike's, and you can tell
and
us.
And I'll sign it.
I'll sign mine, too. And then you can sell it on Reddit for, like, the hate purposes.
I'll probably use an old t-shirt.
They could do their thing.
But I'll clean it first.
I'm going to use a pair of underwear. Worn underwear.
Why would you say that?
I have a lot of underwear. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
I wear boxer only know briefs. when I have to do laundry is when I'm down to my last pair of boxers. Then I know it's
see,
time.
I used to be a boxer guy. Now I'm boxer brief. It keeps everything
nice
in place.
I've mixed in a couple of boxer briefs in the rotation.
For the suit, it's definitely big. I'm a Huskier fellow. I have an ass with the diameter of like the surface of the sun. So
you're putting yourself down, Joe. You're beautiful the way you are.
The problem with boxers is they ride up. When my thighs, they just ride up my thighs. So I need the boxer brief. Keeps them.
Boxers nice and, can do that. They have a mind of their own.
Yep. They do what they want. Surly Sailor.
Surly Sailor.
Out of the prospect, this is a great question. Out of the prospects we acquired from the other teams this deadline, which prospects are you, or which prospect single are you looking forward to watching this preseason? So out of Howden, Lindbergh.
Yeah, they got to be in the preseason, yeah.
And I'm missing one. Who am I missing? Rykov, who's probably not going to play.
No,
so
Boston, the defenseman, Lindgren.
I did Lindgren already, so you didn't. Oh, well, you're not writing things down. You're not paying attention. So it's really between
about
Lindgren, Howden, and Hayek. Who are you most excited for? You begin. You start. Putting you right on the spot.
Howden.
That's interesting.
I feel like he's being generally underrated.
I think he
and
is.
And Libor Hayek is a 20-year-old Czech defenseman who I know he was the guy who, you know, made the deal for the Rangers in the Tampa deal, but you know, he's 20. It's very rare to get a guy who's 21 ready for the NHL.
Well, this is preseason, remember?
No, I know. I know that.
Cuz I would make an argument. And I'm going to make the argument now.
All you ever do is make arguments.
You've opened this can of worms. I'm going to say that Hayek is more NHL ready than Howden is.
That's such a how many games have you seen Hayek play?
I'm speaking in terms of what I've been told.
Just can you answer my question without saying zero?
How many games have I seen Hayek play?
Yeah.
Honestly, like start to finish?
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like periods of watching him play, like probably five, but not all. I would watch like a period here or there when I could.
Is that all just highlights?
No, like a physical period of regime.
I'm most excited to see Chris Bigras. How do you like them apples?
Here's why. From everything that we've heard from Jeff Gordon and Chris Drury, Hayek is, and I think the coach of Regina kind of spoke to the Rangers too, that he expected Hayek to be an NHL-ready guy next year, or damn close to an NHL-ready guy next year.
Yeah, that's like a dad saying his kid's the best team Little League team.
The flip side of that is Howden was great in the World Juniors with Canada. Hayek was a goddamn man for the Czech Republic. I mean, he was averaging 30 minutes a night, and he backstopped that defense, and he was a beast. So I'm more excited for Hayek because I think his ceiling is a top pair, like Ryan McDonough-esque defenseman.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Get there. I'm just saying. I think that's his ceiling. I think Howden's ceiling is a Derek Stepan, which is not a bad thing.
I don't want you to talk anymore. I want to say a thing.
Say things.
My Mike's hot take. I like Chris Biegris more than Ryan Lindgren.
That is a flaming hot take.
And do you know why?
I'm very curious to hear why. Should I passively aggressively ask you how many games of his you've watched?
Who, Biegris?
Yeah.
Like 3.
Have you really? Full games?
Oh, yeah. Like, most of the game.
No, the question is full games, Michael.
You know how hard it is to watch goddamn AHL games?
It can't be any harder than watching the Regina Pats. Don't argue with me on that one.
It's fair.
Go ahead. Whatever point you were making before I attacked you.
Lindgren's just, he's a physical defensive prospect.
Wait, you're talking about Lindgren now. I thought you were talking about Biegris.
Yeah, that's, I'm saying I'm more excited for Biegris than Lindgren in many ways.
So here's the weird thing. 2 years ago, Lindgren was like one of the, he had the high, one of the highest pedigrees of defensemen coming out of that draft.
I mean, obviously I'm saying this to be scintillating. But sure. I don't know. I feel like Biegris is getting kind of written off when maybe, I mean, he could be a third pair guy in the NHL.
You want my hot take?
What's your hot take?
Biegris will never see the Rangers roster.
I think that's even more likely than him being better than Ryan Lindgren.
But Lindgren will see the Rangers.
But I also think I could probably, my other hot take is I'll make a better pair of gloves than you.
No, you won't, you bitch. Here's the thing about Lindgren.
Did you grow up being an artsy kid? I was an artsy kid. I was a creative guy.
Not at all. Not even a little. My creativity was stupidity.
I would imagine you like eating the crepas. Do you remember crepa?
No. What is that?
It's like that. It's like a. It was like a crayon, but it's like greasy and it smears.
I had an incident when I was in the fourth grade where.
You bought another child?
I had some... No, that was when I was in kindergarten. It's even worse. I had Silly Putty. Okay?
Okay. Nice. I remember Silly Putty.
Cracked open the egg. I had the Silly Putty.
Yeah.
And I decided that I was going to get a
Didn't
mold.
Silly Putty bounce?
It could. I was going to get a mold of my hair with the Silly Putty.
Oh, Joe.
So in the middle of church, because I went to a Catholic elementary school...
Oh, honey.
I put the Silly Putty in the middle of my head, and to my horror, it got stuck in my hair. Yeah, so I cried because I was embarrassed. I used the scissor to try to cut it out, but all I was doing was cutting my own hair. It was really terrible.
A scissor.
I was supposed to have a play date with my friend Glenn that day, and I couldn't.
Glenn!
I was crying so much.
I've never known another child to be named Glenn. It's such a terrible name for a kid.
I haven't spoken to that kid in, I'm going to say, 20 years. So Glenn, if you're listening, his mom cut our hair.
Glenn is like Dale. Dale and
Gary. You ever met a kid named Gary?
Those are names for men, grown men.
Yeah, like you acquire that name as a grown ass man. Anyway, my mom, I don't remember exactly how, but she like poured baby oil onto my head and like let it soak, and it came right out. So I didn't have to like shave my head or anything.
Yeah, moms know a lot of black magic like that.
Yeah, I definitely cried. Here, getting back to Ryan Lindgren. Here's the thing. And we saw this with Brady Shea. Brady Shea's numbers for the University of Minnesota.
I already know where you're going with this.
Well, the rest of the podcast listeners don't, so don't ruin it for them because I'm about to blow an enormous hole in this stupid argument that you have.
I'm just trying to make content. Hashtag content.
Hashtag content. Pay for this, by the way. Patreon.com/BlueJerBanter.
Hashtag glove challenge.
Hashtag glove challenge. Love challenge. Here's
oh boy
in the University of Minnesota. Brady Shea, points in 36 games as a freshman, 14 points in 40 games as a sophomore, 10 points in 33 games as
could
a,
he throw a yeah? Could he throw a body check?
In the World Junior Championships, he had 1 point in 5 games. Now let's go to Ryan Lindgren.
I'm so bored with you.
Freshman year, 7 points in 32 games. Sophomore year, 9 points in 35 games. In 2 stints in the World Juniors, he played 7 games in each of them. He had an assist in each of them.
He threw some hits.
Through The Athletic, who have done multiple interviews with him because Michael Russo is the guy who does The Wild and Lindgren's from Minnesota. Every coach that he spoke to...
But does he throw some hits?
Talked about the fact that Lindgren is great in his own zone. And they force him to play in a more defensive role, a shutdown role, because that's what they need of him. who is to say, I'm not saying Lindgren's going to be a 30 or 40 point defenseman, but I do think people are overlooking Lindgren. I really do. I think he's going to be a good defenseman for the Rangers. And he's definitely going to be better than Bigras, because Bigras is... he's like 23. He couldn't even crack the Colorado lineup. Although
the Colorado, he got hurt. And then Colorado had more guy because I wrote a goddamn story about him.
Oh, for the banter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I should be more...
Yeah, you should maybe read the shit I read.
I guess I should... Should I read the shit you read? That's what you want me to do? You don't even write stuff down when you promise me that you will. I'm supposed to commit
to reading
things.
I don't know how to word good. Read the shit I write good.
What are you, crazy? I'm not reading or writing. This is why Reddit hates me, I think, right here.
Because you're mean to me.
I'm never mean to you.
And I'm just a sweet boy. Read the shit I write. Write the read.
Patreon question. Another one from Michael Silvers. This is a good one.
Oh, Michael Silvers. We like him.
And actually, we like him because he's a Patreon supporter. This was going to be the question.
I actually like him unconditionally. I'm
like
a better person than
too.
Well, I said it first.
You're also a filthy liar.
Hashtag glove challenge.
Glove challenge. Hashtag glove challenge. Michael Silvers, Jeff Gordon has said on multiple occasions, and usually it's the first thing out of his mouth, that he's looking for, quote, high character players, end quote. Do you get the feeling that he says it as if the Rangers lacked those kind of players recently? If so, who do you think lacked or lacks high character?
That's a great question.
It is a great question. So Mike and I did a personal podcast, a private podcast for our patrons.
A lot of P words you just did.
And James Private Dolan podcast. Talked about how, you know, McDonough was a good leader, but maybe not the type of vocal guy that they wanted. And I do think that kind of plays into it. Mike, what are your... I have some interesting thoughts on this.
Well, you got the JT Miller going to bars thing.
We do.
You got the Tony D'Angelo's kind of a douche thing.
You do.
And that's a thing. You got potentially Brendan Smith being a little bit of a... doesn't take the getting in shape in the hockey seriously enough thing.
You do.
You got Kevin Hayes. I almost said Kevin Smith.
You did.
You have the Kevin Hayes
podcast.
Not quite, you know, being
Kevin Bacon.
You know, I'm trying here, Joe. Hashtag
hashtag glove challenge.
Glove challenge. I almost said curse words, but I thought better of it. Yeah, you know, I think that there is something to be said there about, you know, a couple of guys. I think when you have a group of particularly young players, and I think, what was it? VC was the other guy who kind of palled around with Miller. I think it was really Miller, Hayes, and VC as a little, you know, social click off the ice, from what I understand. You know, when you have guys like that that are a part of the young core of the team, especially in the case of Hayes and Miller, and there are kind of little things like that where, you know, you don't necessarily love the idea of them going out and drinking and, you know, doing stuff. And I think in many ways you have to be a little more conscious and careful of that in a city like New York. You know, it's a little harder to fly under the radar. You know, it's a little harder when, you know, even like players going out just to do like social drinking, you know, people are going to hear about it. There's going to be word of mouth. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like a team, an organization like the Rangers is probably led to believe they should pay a little more attention to that than most teams would. And there also comes the whole, you know, original six prestige and all that crap.
Sure.
But, yeah, did Kaylin just make a sneezy?
She did. She made a noise, yes.
It's the best thing that's been on this entire podcast, though, I'll say.
Let's preface some of what Mike is saying.
By it's all hearsay and conjecture.
Sure, it's all hearsay and conjecture.
It's scuttlebutt.
It is scuttlebutt, far more towards Miller. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to say 90% towards
Miller.
Yeah,
Miller was definitely, and of course, I mean, and of it goes without saying, really, that D'Angelo's antics and...
I'm talking about, like, the drinking comment.
No, I understand,
made.
I understand. But, like, D'Angelo's antics are pretty well documented, so...
Yeah, and it's a totally different type of off-ice.
Yeah, it is.
That's not, like,
It fits under the
ethical,
broad umbrella of character, though.
It's more of an ethical issue than I... But I don't even think that's necessarily what the Gordon is kind of talking about.
I think he wants kids with their heads...
I think the Rangers are looking for quote-unquote, like, captain material, because Lindgren, Howden, and even Hayek are all that type of player, specifically Lindgren. And
what about Chris Begris?
I honestly have no idea. I don't know. You tell me. You wrote that article that I didn't read.
I watched like 2.8 games of Chris Begris.
And did you see leadership qualities out of him that you weren't?
I saw a lot of things. Saw a lot of things out of him.
Things that you'll never be able to unsee.
I don't like you very much.
I thought that was a good joke.
It was a good joke. I just want to put socks in your snakes.
Hashtag glove challenge. Hashtag glove challenge. Here we go. It's on. I do think, and Mike and I talked about this on the personal podcast, which I'm going to continue. I keep calling it a personal podcast. It's not. It's a patron-only podcast. It's called Bantering the Blue Shirts, Double Shifted, Get It Through My Own Goddamn Head. Anyway.
Easy, Joe.
On Bantering the Blue Shirts, Double Shifted. Oh, maybe my wife is back. She could take the baby. And you can hear Stanley making his...
Stanley's ruining the show.
Even on that type of...
it's a bad dog,
even Stanley. On that type of a level where you're talking about the leadership qualities in specific players. On the podcast that we did, Double Shifted, the private Patreon-only podcast, we discussed the fact that James Dolan made a comment that Ryan McDonagh maybe wasn't the most vocal leader that the Rangers were looking for. And this comes off the heels of Ryan Callahan not really being the leader that we thought he was, right? Brad Richards making a comment before the Rangers made their Stanley Cup run that it would be very easy for him to kind of take over the leadership qualities that were needed in the room. And not as a shot to Callahan. I think it was just more or less, you know, saying, hey, listen, we're not really losing all that much here in that regard. And I it's an interesting thing because where this gets scary, Michael, where this gets Halloween spooky is... What does high character mean? Because Dan Girardi was a high character player.
I want to ask you a question. Is high character Elias Anderson? Because he's, you know, he skate his guts out every shift.
100%.
But he's also throw his medal into the stands. Like, what is high character?
That's the best question you've asked on this podcast.
I was going to ask you also if you. I want you to ask your wife on the show if you can make Apple boxing gloves for Kaylin.
Because I don't think she has the. I don't even think she'd know. She'd be like, "What did you just say?" And she wouldn't understand.
That's all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear, though.
If if she comes back downstairs, I'll get her to. I'll ask the question. She did have a cameo at one point for like Hottest Ranger, I think. And I don't even remember who she said. It better have been Lundqvist or else we're getting a divorce. There are two forms of character, right?
Well, there's a lot of
heart
forms of
and grit and intangibles on one side. And a good old North American boy plays the game the right way on and off the ice on the other side. Anderson is clearly not the latter because he threw the goddamn medal into the crowd and tried to tomahawk the trophy for the team. He is very clearly the former, though. I think part of the reason why the Rangers drafted him where they did...
He's a blood and guts player.
It wasn't just because he was, you know...
Like a Girardi. Yeah.
Right. He has leadership qualities. He's much more polished. He captained the World Junior squad for Sweden. There's a lot to love about Elias Anderson.
He'll block a shot with his face.
Block a shot with his damn throat. He'll block it with his penis. He doesn't care.
Block it with his gloves. Glove challenge.
Glove challenge. Hashtag glove challenge. Definitely that type of a player. Is that necessarily something that the Rangers need to exploit? Like, is that something that they should be drafting around? I don't think so. You could find those guys in the bargain bin. Joel Ward is like a great... He's an unbelievable heart and soul player. Ryan Callahan... Unbelievable heart and soul player. You don't. They're on the fourth line. If anything, you don't need them. You could find them. You could find those guys. You don't have to necessarily go out of your way to get them. And if the Rangers demanded Lindgren in a deal because they liked his character over DeBrusque or, I guess, whatever else may have been out there, I'm not going to be a happy camper. But I'm going to operate under the assumption that that was not the case.
Yeah.
So
it's tough. It's tough because I look at Anderson and I think I would consider him to be, you know, a high character guy. He's a guy, and I think that's one of the reasons, honestly, why the Rangers drafted him where they did. is, you know, he's not a first-line franchise center, but he is a guy who you know is going to give you everything he has.
Sure.
And he's, you know, like we've always talked about with him, he's a safe pick. He's a, you know, you kind of know what you're getting. You're getting a solid two-way player and likely a second-line center. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it's, I don't know. And I'm definitely one of the, I don't want a bunch of a-holes on my team. I'm all for that. But it does come down to, like, well, who's making this call and what's a character player? Like, does it get into this weird world of, like, I don't know about P.K. Subban. He's not an old-fashioned, you know, lunch pail, boring as shit, you know, the sort of player I grew up with guy. It's like, well, no, I want a team full of P.K. Subbans. Give me all the P.K. Subbans there are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would fully agree with that. I really would.
I like P.K. Subban.
I like P.K. Subban as well.
I like you, too.
And I think you need that. I like you, too, Michael. Hashtag glove challenge. I think you need a little bit of both. You need the high character guys, but I also, one of the reasons why I think a Kovalchuk would be great for the younger guys is because you take that swagger that a lot of these players come up through the ranks and into the NHL thinking they're not allowed to have, right? Like, you're a rookie, do what you're told. Dump the puck in, go chase it, throw a hit, block a shot. Don't you dare try to put it through. Don't do your moves. I don't know why the coach has suddenly become Italian. Don't do nothing, none of that. You hear me right now? I'm telling you, you go, you shoot the puck, you come back, you're done. You go into the defensive zone, you cover on defense. Don't take no risks. I swear to God, I see you take a single risk, you ain't having Bajola after the game. I'm not joking. Sit your ass right on the bench, right? Like, that was what John Tortorella was. And that was ultimately what Vigneault was for rookies. Come to this team, play defense. Focus on your defense. You take a risk in the offensive zone, it doesn't work out, you're getting benched. And then you're getting scratched. And that's the way that it is. So I want a guy like Hedl to look at Kovalchuk and think, God damn, I want to do some of that. I could do that. Look at what he's doing. You need both. Because if you don't have that, you're going to get guys who are stifled offensively.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's...
That's what you about, said, Joe.
Yeah, that's about where it goes.
Are there any other questions?
No, those are all the questions.
No wonder you're so fiery.
Why? That was a lot of questions.
Well, yeah, you did a good job. You seemed very fiery on that last one,
though. Because it upsets me. I don't like hearing we need more high-character players. Because that...
You know what else I want you to do? What? When you make the boxing gloves out of apples for Kalen, I want you to get, like, a cantaloupe, right? And I want you to carve it and make it like, you know, when boxers are sparring, they have that little padded helmet thing they put around their head.
Yes.
And I want you to put that on your baby child's head, on the little baby head.
Did you see the Instagram post I had where I gave her a cantaloupe?
It's just sitting on her little lap. No, but I noticed a lot of them, a lot of the Instagram posts.
Yeah, you should. You should go through all of them and enjoy them. Son of a bitch. Hashtag glove challenge. I don't know what else.
It's going to really be hard to do the glove. I'm looking forward to it, though.
I guess we have to sew it, right? We're sewing it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
You know, I'm going to give you a trick right off the bat, buddy.
What?
Here's what you do, because I learned how to sew recently. You sew, right, knowing that you're sewing the inside of something, like a T-shirt or a sock, and then you pull it inside out, and that way you hide the stitching.
Look at that.
I mean, we're ready for this glove challenge.
We're hashtag glove challenge.
How sad would it be if we don't get to do the glove challenge?
Yeah, though? So we need 5 more patrons at $5.
I'll end up being one of our own patrons.
Just to get it through.
Just so I can make gloves for somebody.
5 more patrons and you are eligible to win a glove that Mike and I hastily fashioned together.
It's going to be pretty great.
It is going to be great. I agree. It's going to be wonderful. What else? Anything else you want to discuss before we close up?
I like Peaky Blinders on Netflix. Been watching that.
Got to go Westworld, man.
My dagger came in the mail. That's good.
Got to go Westworld. Yeah,
Westworld's great. I'm one of those people. I want it all in so I can binge it. I don't want to do this bullshit. Wait a week.
Have you seen any of the new episodes?
No. I'm saving it up.
It's amazing. As soon as I stop recording, I'm going to spoil all of it for you.
Why would you do that?
Because I need somebody to talk to. Nobody at work is caught up yet. It pisses me off. Watch the show that I'm watching when I'm watching it so that we can discuss things. I don't think I'm being unreasonable or unfair.
Why are you getting so mad at me?
iTunes.com.
No wonder Reddit hates you.
Then Blue Shirt Banter. They really do hate me. And then you could go and, you know, you can leave a nice comment. And I think you should do that. And if you don't do that, you're dead to us. Both of us.
You know, if you're on the Rangers subreddit, I want you just make a post why everyone hates Blue Shirt Banter.
If you're on the Rangers subreddit and you listen to this show, I think that's part of the problem.
I want people to like us. I want people to like you.
I think it's me more than the site.
It's probably all you.
I don't think I'm a hateable person, but I guess I am.
Well,
you know who doesn't hate me?
Who's that?
Anthony Viola, John J. Porter, Alex Gardner, wow. John Reppy, Johnny Alo, Eric Cohn, Alexander Ricard, Daniel DeGene, Matt Bader, 50, Guy from Montana, Stink Fleeman, Mike Offit, Trevor Kempner, Gabriel Vargas, Dan Carosi, David L. Singer, Andre Shikagoff, Arch Williams, Bob Kawa, Scott Potash, Chris Habibi, Mike's friend, James Dangles, Danny Santiago, Grumpy Smokey, Igor Zatlovsky, Thomas Osa, Chris B., and Michael Silvers.
Any of these people could win a pair of gloves.
Any of them could win a hastily fashioned, crude set of gloves that will be created by my old underwear or potentially a t-shirt. I don't know.
Don't, for good God, why would you use your, don't do underwear. Find an old t-shirt.
No, I think I'm going to do the underwear.
Throw it in the wash.
I think I'm going to do the underwear. Just take a... Are we making a pair of gloves or a single glove? It's got to be the pair, right?
We have two options. You can make a glove, I can make a glove, and we send a mismatched pair to one poor Sam.
No.
We do two. We both make a pair.
Yeah, meaning you have
like
to.
A set.
Because let me tell you what's going to happen if we do the first option. You're going to make a right glove, and I'm going to make a right glove, and then we need to find somebody who has two right hands.
Joe, there's no way in hell that's going to be relevant. We're both going to make gloves that are interchangeable. I mean...
No, we're going to make right and left gloves. If I'm putting the goddamn seam on the inside so that nobody sees it, it's a right and left glove.
You're taking it serious? Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking it serious, okay? You're not going to see my seams. You will see my underwear, though, because that's what they're going to be made out of.
I really hope not.
It probably won't be. How big are we making these gloves? Like, there's a bunch of questions, because I have enormous
hands.
I'm
going to design them to fit my hands.
Yeah, I have gargantuan hands, so whoever wins it, if you have small hands, you are pretty screwed.
I have big palms, but little fingers. I'm like a gorilla.
It's interesting. Very interesting. Is that true? Do gorillas have big palms and little fingers? I would think that that's not true.
I just said that.
Because gorillas, like, climb shit, so you'd think they need long...
They do not.
Long fingers.
Lowland... Gorillas don't really climb. They mostly just
That's a lowland gorilla. What about a regular gorilla? What about a silverback gorilla?
Silverback is a type of all gorillas. It's the alpha male.
So, is it really?
Yep.
I thought a silverback gorilla was a type
no.
of gorilla.
Much like a black bear is a type of bear, you thought a silverback was
yes.
a...
Yes, I thought it was actually gorillas who had silverbacks.
No, that's not how
like
that
a gray mane, perhaps.
No.
Well, you've made me sound stupid on this podcast. Once again, I will resent you.
That's okay. It's always animals, though. I always get you on the animals.
It is.
If we were in a bar for a trivia night, I would definitely be the one who speaks up for animals.
Yeah, for sure.
You'd speak up with about advertising or whatever the hell it is you do for your day job.
It is advertising, so... Well, sort of advertising, not really. It's,
and shawarma.
I sell...
You know a lot more about various meats than I do.
Delicious, moist meats?
Yeah, moist foods, that would be you.
Instead of your dry, dry. Cassowary?
Birds would be me. Smart people stuff, Beth. Smart. We'll do anything that smart people know is Beth stuff.
Yeah. All right, this was wonderful. Thank you all for joining.
Just remember, friends, five more Patreons.
Five more patrons.
Patron pops. Patreons.
Five more patrons, and we're doing the hashtag.
You got some friends? So, I don't have any friends, but I'm sure you guys do.
If you have a friend, get them. If they don't join, they're not your friend. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. So,
you're like, you know that $5 you give to the ASPCA every month to keep sad dogs fed? Well, they do deals with the devil. So go ahead and give that money to Bantering the Blue Shirts.
I'm going to be on record that if you are donating to the thing that feeds and takes care of those poor dogs.
You don't even know what it is.
I want you to continue.
Tell me the thing I just said. What was the organization?
ASAPC something. ASPCA? I don't know.
Hey, you got it! ASPCA.
But it's the, that's like the commercial, the arms of the angel, and it's like the dogs behind cages and stuff. Yeah, I don't like watching that.
Dog, I have missing a dog. That's awful.
Yeah, so if you're donating to that, do not leave that money to donate to Blue Shirt Panther. That's not okay. Take care of the puppies. But if you have another $5 a month laying around, which you should, right? You have disposable income. You're an adult. Hashtag glove challenge. You could win a hastily created crude glove. And who doesn't want that? It could theoretically keep you warm in like a cooler spring day.
You know when you're sitting funny or when you wake up in the morning and a part of your body is asleep, like your leg's asleep or your foot?
I do, I'm aware.
What's the worst part? Like, what's the thing you dread the most to fall asleep?
I don't know about dread. I hate waking up when one of my hands is asleep. Because I try to fumble, like, to get the covers off or to turn off my alarm, and my hand just, like, flops. It smashes into the alarm. It wakes up the baby because my hand is just, like, it has a mind of its own. I don't like that at all. So
when I say that. When I was in college, I was sitting cross-legged because I was at class early because that's the sort of person I was.
Sure.
And I sat too long cross-legged, just slumped against the wall, and my foot fell asleep, and class was ready to start, so I hopped up, and I didn't realize like my foot was asleep until the last moment. I knew it felt funny, but I was like, oh, this is just standard. And I landed heavy on it, and I sprained my ankle really severely. And so as a result, whenever my feet are asleep, I'm filled with dread.
Okay. Beth is a whale.
You're a silverback gorilla.
I am a silverback gorilla. Goddamn alpha. You are a beautiful sphinx.
Oh, that's nice.
See? I'm not a mean person. Not mean-spirited at all. It's just
Chris Bigris.
Mike and I love each other. Chris Bigris.
Hashtag glove challenge.
Hashtag glove challenge. Ryan
Thank
Lindgren.
You all for listening.
Thank you all for listening. Patreon.com/BlueShirtPanther. And most importantly,
have fun in the KHL, Darnay.
Dogs can't make
a deal with
the devil.
Hope everything works out great.